Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go. We're glad to have you tuning in with us this morning. We're going to be focusing on a parable in the very beginning of the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, the parable of the sower, how the sower, God, scatters the word throughout the world, and how that seed, that word, finds its way in, hopefully, to fertile ground. But before we do that, it is Black History Month, and we have our own Sidney Anderson singing for us Amazing Grace. So I just hope that you will settle in, that you'll allow the Spirit of God to rest on you, and prepare yourself for the word this morning as we listen to Sidney make this offering for us and to the glory of the Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed. Shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever.
Sidney, thank you so much. So very, very beautiful. So, as I mentioned, we are looking at the parable of the sower in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and this is how it reads. It says, "Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he had to get into a boat." So he literally got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. Jesus began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path. The birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and those thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. However, other seed fell in good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, 100-fold. And Jesus said to them, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Now, apparently, his closest disciples didn't understand him. And so a few verses later in verse 13, it says, Jesus said to him, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root, and they endure only for a while. Then when troubles or persecution arise on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones who are sown in good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. The word of God for the people of God. Let's just take a moment and pray together. Lord God, we recognize that you are sharing your word, your will, your way for us all the time. But more often than not, we miss it. And so we pray that maybe in this time together, your word might sink deep into us, somehow take root and grow. We ask for this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the reasons, maybe the primary reason I love traveling to Israel is because the Bible has really been a home for me, as I know it is for many of you. And I've got to tell you, it always feels like this almost emotional spiritual homecoming of sorts from the moment we touched down in Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. I mean, situating scripture in a physical location really can be deeply moving. Our trips, as many of you know, are quite simple. We go to read scripture in the context in which those stories were formed. And something happens, something moves within us when we read a text in a location that the text references. It comes alive in ways that are sometimes unexpected. Now, I mention this because I've been looking for the location of this particular story that we just read together for years. There is a Bay of Parables. It's on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, and I got to tell you, I've looked and looked and looked. I can't find it. It's said to be a cove that forms a kind of natural amphitheater where it would have been easy for Jesus to kind of project his message from a boat. And all the sites in Galilee are really close together. So I know that the site is close by. I probably passed it 100 times without realizing it, but I failed. I failed to find it. So we've actually, in the previous or most recent trips, I've sent runners. We have members of our group who like to run in the morning. I've sent runners to look for it. My first runner couldn't find it. Second runner couldn't find it. But the third runner, this last trip, made the discovery. Member of our group said that the trail is fairly poorly marked. It can only be found if you know what you're looking for or if you kind of inadvertently stumble upon it. And even then, it takes something like faith to believe you're on the right path. You know, I think about that, and I think that's much like searching through a parable itself, right? We know there's meaning to these stories that Jesus told, but they're not always clearly marked, and they can get us off track. But if we keep at the story, and if we have a bit of faith, meaning can be revealed in significant and sometimes really extraordinary ways. So according to our church member who found the Bay of Parables, that bay is a quiet, bucolic spot. If you look around, you can see there's a bit of a path. There's plenty of rocks and weeds and thorns, as well as a whole host of cultivated orchards. I want to visit the location myself one day, now that I think we pinpointed it, so that I can read this passage of Scripture to possibly receive a better understanding of the story itself. Now, in a sense, this parable is straightforward. Jesus even goes on to give an explanation where he doesn't in a lot of other parables. You see, God is the sower. God scatters seeds of faith everywhere. But not everyone upon whom the word, the will, and way of God is spread, not everyone grows in faith. In fact, Jesus said, we're kind of like different kinds of ground. Some of us are like the hardened path. We're so set in our ways, so committed to our own opinions, so confident in our own understandings. Nothing new can penetrate us. Not possible. Just not possible. Others of us get really excited about different matters of faith or calls to justice and service. We listen to an inspiring sermon perhaps, or a TED Talk, or we have a really moving experience and we're convinced our lives will be altered for the better. We commit to a new and enlivening path in life, but when our enthusiasm fades, which it always does, our commitment begins to wane. Then there's others of us who are so entangled in the complexities of life that faith and high purpose and deeper meaning just elude us, you know, because of work, school, family vacations, kids' activities after school, social events. All those things crowd out or choke out the word, the will, the ways of God. But then there are some folks who are ready, who are available, who are receptive to matters of ultimate purpose, and faith takes deep hold within them, and it just grows and grows and grows, 30, 60, 100-fold. You know, and I get that. I see that. I say this often to our new members' classes. Every new members' class, people show up excited to participate in the life of the church. And after 25 years of ministry, I know that a third of that class who joins won't be with us a year later. Either they've relocated or they've just fallen away. I know another third will kind of become occasional participants in the church. Maybe they'll be Christmas and Easter Christians. But then there's another third of people who just dive deep into the life of the church, and they grow and the church grows because of them. And the amazing thing is when that new member class forms, I can never tell who's going to fall into what category, but those categories are real. And I actually think that's what Jesus was doing in this parable. I think Jesus was telling this story to explain why not every member of the crowd who gathered around Jesus took to the faith or continued with the cause. But that's where my understanding of this particular parable begins to get a bit murky. I mean, is Jesus saying we're a certain type of soil with no ability to change throughout our lives? You know, you're the hardened path, or you're rocky soil or thorny soil, or you just happen to be fertile. I mean, I also wonder, why does the sower waste so much seed just throwing it everywhere? And why is the yield 30, 60, and instead of 90, the multiplier is 100? I have questions. This parable's not as clear as one might hope. It takes work to get at it and to get into it. Now, I have spent a lot of time thinking about this parable over the years, and I suspect that we're not a certain kind of soil for the entirety of our lives. No, I have this hunch that each and every one of us has seasons. We have seasons when we're more and less fertile, more or less receptive to the word and the will and the ways of God. There are seasons when we're hardened, you know, or seasons when we just lack a degree of depth or we're choked with concerns. But there are also certain seasons when faith sinks deep into us and just grows. Now, while I have questions about this parable, I got to say I love it. That affection is what fuels my desire to stand and read this story at the Bay of Parables one day. I even have a watercolor painting, one I commissioned of the sower in my office. And while I'm troubled by questions of soil condition that this parable raises, I'm also moved, and I hope you are too, moved by Jesus' assertion that God, the sower, doesn't pick and choose where to scatter seed. I mean, think about it. That's remarkable. God doesn't make judgments about who is and who is not ready for growth. The seeds of faith are spread everywhere. It's as if God is open to the possibility that seeds might be able to penetrate even those of us who outwardly seem unlikely to take to faith. I think this parable indicates that God's hope for us springs eternal. God is often has more faith in our potential than we have in God. God is lavish, if you will, if you remember from a couple of weeks ago. God is prodigal, almost wasteful in God's efforts to grow something good within us. With that said, here's my issue. I don't know about you, but I do not like the idea of being a certain kind of soil and just waiting for a season when I'm more fertile ground for the Lord. I mean, Jesus tells this story to help us be aware that there are times when we're more and less receptive to God. And awareness, spiritual awareness is a good thing. But what if we don't like the ground we currently are? What do we do to make ourselves more receptive? What if we don't want to be hardened or rocky or choked with concerns? Jesus doesn't say anything about that in this particular story. I mean, are we just stuck? Stuck in whatever spiritual condition we find ourselves in? Well, in antiquity, as is the case today, if you want to cultivate land, you use a plow to break up the ground and remove the rocks and uproot the weeds. In fact, an early Christian symbol was the plow. There was even some early church lore that Jesus and his father Joseph were carpenters who made plows. That's what they did with their carpentry skills. They made plows for local farmers. Now, there's no evidence for such a belief, but the plow is a means of cultivating land, physically, but perhaps also spiritually. And it's true that having a plow driven straight through one's life can break a person open. And it is like, and most of us have experienced this in one way or another, it's like creation itself is designed for upheaval. And it's true that the most spiritually receptive times for us are moments when the ground of our being has been entirely turned over due to the death of someone we love, or the loss of a job, the loss of our health, the breakup of an important relationship, the loss of a dream that we had for ourselves or those we hold dear, a struggle one of our children or grandchildren is going through. You know, when life gets turned upside down, as it invariably does, those painful and unsettling moments tend to be the times and seasons of greatest receptivity and growth in terms of faith. When life's good, when we're in the groove, when we're in that well-worn path and our days are full of activity, you know, matters of ultimate meaning and spiritual significance don't seem to have as much opportunity to flourish within us. Now, I want to suggest that this parable doesn't only apply to matters of faith. This story, I think, speaks a truth that can be applied to many aspects of life, individual or communal, any aspect of life that requires growth. You know that there's a ton of relational strife in our world right now. Even in this Olympic moment, we know nations are at odds with one another. Families are on edge, having spent too much of the pandemic together. Politics is not only a national, but we've proved here in New Canaan, a local flashpoint. Questions and conversations about race and justice flare up with regularity. So what I want to just do for a brief moment here is take one issue just as an example. So as I said earlier on, this, as you know, is Black History Month, which means it's an opportunity to consider the amazing contributions that people of color have made and continue to make in our country. It's a time to look at how far we've come and at the distance we still need to travel in our understanding and appreciation for racial difference. And yet, when it comes to matters of race and equality, some folks are like the hardened path. They do not want to hear a darn thing about it. They're set in their ways and their understanding, and that's that. Others want to address the issues of inequity and that they observe in the country and around the world. They're excited to learn about how to make change. But it turns out change is hard. And if you don't have the depth of commitment, if you don't have the endurance needed, your enthusiasm for the cause will recede. It happens. And then there's a whole host of folks who really do think that issues of race need to be addressed somehow, but they just don't have the time to commit to it at the moment. Too much going on. But then there are others, folks who know and understand that understanding itself needs to deepen and that change needs to happen. So they make time to listen and grow and act. And progress is made over time, 30, 60, 100-fold. I mean, being aware of the kind of ground you are in regard to relationships you're in, but also to the issues you face, that's important and valuable information. But for the life of me, I can't believe all that Jesus wanted us to learn from this story is a greater awareness of ourselves. There's got to be something more. Well, just up the hill from the Bay of Parables is a location where Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is remembered. It's called the Church of Beatitudes, or at least is marked by that church. And in a portion of that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told crowds, and you probably remember these words, he said, "Ask, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. What Jesus was speaking about was the active cultivation of faith, the work of deepening relationship with God and relationship with others. He said, ask, search, knock. Ask, search, knock. Or to use agrarian images or metaphors, plow, remove rocks, weed, do the work, break up the soil, clear your spiritual landscape of stones and thorns. Now, what that might mean is to put yourself in unfamiliar situations or dare to have uncomfortable conversations. It might mean to establish new and unlikely relationships. It might simply be your allowing your life to be turned over. Or maybe it has to do with following a new and perhaps poorly marked trail with the faith that the adventure itself will allow for revelation, discovery, growth. See, I think ultimately the purpose of this parable is to prompt questions within us. Questions that do not need to be answered by taking a trip halfway around the world to stand on the banks of a lake asking questions of a bay. In your work, in your relationships, in your understanding of the world, what kind of ground are you right now? How receptive are you to the seeds God continues to shower upon you? How open are you to change and growth? And I'm not talking about in others, but in yourself. Are you willing to break up those places that have become hardened in your life? Are you ready to do some rock removal? Is it time to clear out a bit of the clutter, to free yourself from the cares and concerns that choke your life? It can be done by God's grace, and growth awaits 30, 60, 100-fold. Let's take a moment to pray together. Lord God, we really do inhabit different seasons of life, and sometimes we're really receptive to your word, to that which you desire for us and from us. But there are other times when we're hard of heart, or we're just too busy, or we lack depth. And so we pray, Lord, that somehow you would help to cultivate within us a willingness, an openness, a receptivity to that which you desire to implant within us. We pray this, we hope this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.